Hi everyone, welcome back to the OrthoBullets podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of scapulothoracic dyskinesis found under the shoulder and elbow section at orthobullets.com. Let's begin with a quick summary. Scapulothoracic dyskinesis is a rare condition characterized by abnormal scapular motion leading to shoulder impingement and dysfunction. Diagnosis is clinical with the presence of scapulothoracic crepitus with a low and protracted scapula, and symptoms being relieved with scapular stabilization. Treatment involves NSAIDs and physical therapy with emphasis on periscapular muscle and rotator cuff strengthening. Now let's get into the episode. In terms of the demographics, this is typically seen in athletes, particularly in baseball pitchers. In terms of the pathophysiology, the causes are multifactorial and include neurologic injury, pathologic thoracic spine kyphosis, periscapular muscle fatigue, poor throwing mechanics, and it may be secondary to pain, such as shoulder or neck pain. In terms of the pathoanatomy, there is scapulothoracic power imbalance, which leads to protraction of the scapula. This leads to alteration of mechanics at the glenohumeral joint, and eventually there's excessive stress placed on the anterior capsule of the shoulder and posterior superior labrum. Also remember that athletes have an increased risk of injuring their labrum, rotator cuff, or capsule. Moving on to the presentation. Symptoms may include shoulder pain and dysfunction that is worse with arm elevation, as well as a loss of throwing velocity. On exam, one may note scapulothoracic crepitus, the affected scapula may be lower and protracted, and symptoms may be relieved with scapular stabilization. In terms of imaging, recommended radiographs include a complete shoulder series. However, the findings are usually unremarkable. With regards to treatment, non-operative options include NSAIDs, physical therapy, and local injections. This is the main treatment option. The specific technique should involve physical therapy that has an emphasis on core strengthening, scapular stabilizers, serratus anterior, and the trapezius muscle, as well as rotator cuff muscles, and teaching proper core mechanics in throwers. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to scapulothoracic dyskinesis, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 22-year-old college baseball pitcher reports the recent onset of anterior and posterior superior shoulder pain in his throwing shoulder. Examination demonstrates a 15-degree loss of internal rotation, tenderness over the coracoid, and a positive relocation test. Radiographs are normal, and an MRI scan without contrast shows no definitive lesions. A rehabilitation program is prescribed. Which of the following regimens should be initially employed? And the answer choices are: Choice 1. Stretching the posterior capsule and pectoralis minor tendon. Choice 2. Stretching the posterior capsule and strengthening the subscapularis. Choice 3. Stretching the posterior capsule and using shoulder plyometrics. Choice 4. Stretching the anterior capsule and strengthening all components of the rotator cuff. Or choice 5. Stretching the anterior capsule and improving pitching mechanics. The best answer to this question is Choice 1, stretching the posterior capsule and pectoralis minor tendon. Throwing athletes, particularly pitchers, have a high incidence of shoulder pain. Recent evidence suggests that posterior inferior capsular tightness and scapular dyskinesis may play a substantial role in the pathologic cascade, culminating in the development of articular surface rotator cuff tears and tearing of the posterior superior labrum. These patients have posterior superior shoulder pain primarily. Furthermore, these athletes are susceptible to a muscular fatigue syndrome, the SICK scapula syndrome. SICK stands for scapular malposition, inferior medial border prominence, coracoid pain and malposition, and dyskinesis of the scapular movement. This patient has an internal rotation deficit and tenderness over the coracoid. The internal rotation deficit is addressed by stretching the posterior capsule. The tenderness over the coracoid has been attributed to a contracture of the pectoralis minor tendon secondary to scapular malposition. The initial phase of the rehabilitation regimen is directed at stretching the posterior capsule and pectoralis minor tendon. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 23-year-old professional pitcher complains of posterior shoulder pain. Physical exam is notable for scapular dyskinesis. No intra-articular pathology is found on shoulder MRI. Which of the following should be emphasized in the initial stages of rehabilitation? And the answer choices are Choice 1, isometric shoulder exercises. Choice 2, isokinetic shoulder exercises. Choice 3, closed chain shoulder exercises. Choice 4, coordination of scapular motion with trunk and hip movements. Or choice 5, axial loading shoulder exercises. The best answer to this question is choice 4, coordination of scapular motion with trunk and hip movements. Scapular dyskinesis is an alteration in the normal motion of the scapula during coordinated scapulohumeral movements. It occurs as a sequela of prior shoulder injury, especially injuries disrupting the activation patterns of scapular stabilizing muscles. The publication by Kibler et al. Outlined a rehabilitation protocol to treat scapular dyskinesis. The principle is to treat the problem from proximal to distal. The first stage involves attaining full motion of the scapula and coordinating the scapula with the trunk and hip motions. Once this has been achieved, the second stage involves strengthening the scapular musculature. As scapular control is attained, exercises are introduced that place emphasis on the shoulder and arm, beginning with flexibility and closed chain strengthening, and eventually working up to sport-specific functions. Progress is determined by functional improvement rather than a strict timetable. Another publication by Kibler et al. Outlines the presentation, evaluation, and treatment for scapular dyskinesis in the JAAOS review article. They specifically discuss the acute, recovery, and maintenance phases of rehabilitation. That's all for this review about scapulothoracic dyskinesis. We hope that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session from OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on orthobullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the OrthoBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the OrthoBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.